Hallelujah. Wasn't it something to see all those kids up here this morning?
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's something about when kids are involved in whatever activity or whatever situation, there's just, it changes the atmosphere, it changes the attitude, and it brings excitement. Amen? I love kids and their participation. I appreciate your participation, everyone being here this morning. Appreciate your prayers and all your faithfulness to the church. Thank you so much. I thank Brother Dennis so much. I think Brother Dennis is doing a great job in Sunday school class, and I appreciate everything he's doing there. That's what we're going to do or growing is in Sunday school class. Because anytime the Word is taught, where you have a chance just to sit there and just hear it verse by verse, that's where you grow. That's where you get built up, and I thank God for it. If you would open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, very familiar verses of Scripture. Brother Dennis just taught on it here a while back, but Ephesians chapter 5. But I want you to think about this morning. Would you be encouraged? Would you have an excitement in your life if you had a Scripture to stand on that God said that you could awake out of some things that you might not understand, that you might not know about? You could wake and rise out of some things that might be a limitation and a hinder to you, and then those things that was a hindrance or a limitation, they can ultimately be for God's glory, and they can make a light shine. Would that encourage you?
Yes.
That would encourage me, amen. You know, we in the Word of God, we can always look at it one of two ways. We can look at it as something that is negative if we wanted to look at it in the sense that we're always being told what to do, but you and I, we don't look at it that way. We look at it in the positive, that we're told what we can do. Amen? There's a big difference. There's a big difference. I love how Christ, no matter where He went, if He was dealing with a person who had a heart to hear Him, they left Him feeling better. Now, there was other situations and circumstances where they weren't going to hear from anybody. But those who had a heart to hear, you have a heart to hear. I have a heart to hear this morning. And we're going to leave this place. We're going to be feeling better. We're going to be encouraged. We're going to be strengthened, because it's not going to be anything of the natural, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God ministering the Word to us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start reading, if you would, in verse 8. Read down through verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, start out at verse 8 and read through 14. But I want you to concentrate on verse 14. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 5 and 8. The Word of God says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable, well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light." Finally, verse 14, "Wherefore he saith," mark this down in your mind's eye, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness. We thank you for the wonderful presence that we feel of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we're in a place and a position this morning where by the Holy Spirit we can be taught. And even though we've read these verses of Scripture, we've heard them preached, we've heard them taught, Lord, we ask you this morning by a freshness, that the Holy Spirit just deliver what each one of us individually need to hear, and let us leave this place with an attitude of expectation, with hope, with an understanding that no matter what's going on in and around our lives, there is a Word that will waken us. There is a Word that will cause us to stand to our feet in the midst of our trial, in the thing that kept us down. And it will ultimately be a light. It'll be a draw, a pool that will give God Almighty glory in and through our lives. Lord, we expect that, we believe that, we receive it. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and we all say,
amen,
amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Think about this now. You and I today, we look at these verses of Scripture, and He's talking to the church here at Ephesus, and we know in the book of Revelation it talks about the church of Ephesus leaving their first love, but it also talks about in the book of Revelation the church of Sardis about them going to sleep. So we have two of the seven churches that we could talk about that was in a place and a situation where they might have some areas in their life where they needed to be awakened. And this morning, as you and I come to church, as we fellowship with each other, as we fellowship most importantly with the Lord, there's all time in our lives where things is being stirred in our spirit, and we're starting to be awakened to a deeper reality of Jesus, a stronger understanding of the call and the will of God, and the ability to be able to do all things through Jesus, and to be able to receive an anointing that will destroy all the yokes off our lives. So it's not something that you and I need to feel scolded about. It's something that Paul is writing to the church here at Ephesus. He's writing to the church of you and I today, that we need to know that there's things that we don't know. And there's things that we need to be awakened to. And the way that we become awakened to them is just simply by listening to the Lord and allowing His Spirit to talk to our spirit and causing us to step up out of the limitations that the enemy, that the flesh, that the world would want to keep you and I in. Amen? And so let's look at this, break this down just a little bit. He said in verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest." Now, this word awake, it's a Greek word, ergo, which it simply means to awaken in one sense. It means to stop being inactive in another sense. But it also means to be roused from the dead. And you say, well, I'm a Christian this morning. He's writing to Christians. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Okay, now so what's he talking about when he's using this particular word and he's talking to Christians? You know, you and I, we need to look and we need to make sure that we're hearing the Word of God and we're allowing the Word of God to cause us to be active in our faith. You know, James said that faith without works is dead faith. So we can't be active. You and I, every one of us, we've got faith to be saved. Amen? Because we've confessed Jesus. And so we've got faith to accept the call and the role that God has. We can't be inactive in that. But I want you to concentrate this morning that on the reality that Satan is death. Amen? And Satan, he wants to try to speak words of discouragement in your life, in my life. He wants to put things and situations, scenarios that would keep you and I from being awakened to the truth, to the reality, to the goodness of God. Now let's think about it. Jesus said that my words, John 6:63, I believe it is. He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, so if Jesus Christ, if His words are spirit and life, and we know that the thief comes, John 10:10, to come steal, kill, and destroy, then the words of the devil would be death. Amen? They would be death. So here we're talking about awaken. Awaken thou that sleepest. In other words, Satan, his number one agenda is to rock the church to asleep. It's to keep the church inactive in the things, in the plan, in the will of God. Not realizing who you are. Not realizing that Jesus Himself died for you, put His Spirit inside of you, brought an anointing upon you, and a calling that nobody can take away. The Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So nothing can take it away. What God called when He saved you and He stamped you, He put His name in you, amen? A new name written in a white stone and He gave it to you. And nobody can do what you can do. But we got to awaken ourselves to that because the devil is all time coming trying to sit on your shoulder, sit on my shoulder and put us to sleep. So we got to rouse ourselves. We can't allow anything the enemy would say to take root in your life. Let's think about this. The very beginning. What did the devil do in Genesis 3:4? He came to Eve in the garden, and his very first things he said to her was, "You shall not surely die." Now, this is a Hebraism, and he took Genesis 2:17 and he twisted what God said. God said, "You shall surely die." Okay, what the word is saying from the Hebrew is, "Dying, you shall die." In other words, the moment that even Adam, the moment they sinned, they died spiritually. But then their flesh body was still alive, but dying. It doesn't matter if you're alive or not in the flesh. If you're dead spiritually, you're dying and you're progressing to death. Amen? That's what he's saying. And what brought that? What brought it? They had a relationship with God. They walked in the cool of the day and the light of God Almighty come into their life. But there was a word that was spoken that brought darkness, that put them to sleep to what they had. This morning, I want you and I to awake to what we've got. We've got a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Spirit. And we can do all things in the name of Jesus. We can go anywhere. And the Bible says, where you go, where I go, we're blessed. Coming. We're blessed going. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're somebody this morning. And we're carrying the name of Jesus. Amen. Awaken. We've got to awaken ourselves to that. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, down at verse 14, as it's talking about Satan, it tells us what Jesus done for us. Look at this. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, and this is talking about Jesus, you read above later at your home study time, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he was clothed in his flesh body, that through death he might destroy him, the devil, that had the power of death, and it tells us that, that is the devil. So Jesus come in this same flesh that you and I, and he was able to defeat the enemy at his own game. Now, you are serving the one who defeated the one who wants to destroy you. But you have inside information. Because you have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. Jesus walked in this earth and He operated in this earth by the Holy Spirit, bringing revelation to everything the enemy was going to do, and then bringing the will of God into Jesus' life. And Jesus spent time with God the Father by the Spirit, just like you and I do. And He was in all points tempted, the Bible says, but yet without sin. And He destroyed death. Because He had a relationship. Today, you've got a relationship. You can hear from heaven. You don't have to go to some preacher. You don't have to go to some guru. You don't have to go anywhere. Because the Bible says the anointing of the Holy Spirit abides within you, the believer. That means no matter where you're at, you can have a conversation with the Godhead through the Holy Spirit. And you can get wisdom and guidance. But you, I, we've got to awaken to that fact and not be asleep in that truth, in that reality, because the devil wants to keep you and I in a place of misunderstanding. He wants to keep us in a place where, well, that's for somebody else, but that's not for me. They can do it, but I can't. No! You can do it! You can do it, because Jesus, He's no respecter of persons. And He loves you as much as He loves another. And He has a plan for you just like He does somebody else. But we got to awaken to that. And every word that the enemy sits on your shoulder, whispers in your ear, you've got to make a conscious decision. I've got to make a conscious decision to say no. You're not putting me to sleep to the hope that is inside of me. You're not putting me to sleep to the fact that I have a purpose. I have a destiny. My life is ordained. My steps are being ordered by the Lord God Almighty. I'm going somewhere. I'm not going to die in the wilderness, but I'm going to grab somebody by my left hand and by my right hand, and I'm going to show them the way. I'm going to lead them through the wilderness. We're going to the promised land, and all the time, all the way, God Almighty is going to get the glory. He said, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest. Now see, the devil wants to put you to sleep. He wants to put me to sleep. That's his greatest ambition in life, is to try to put us to sleep. Now let's remember, we've got to always look at the Old Testament, because the Bible tells us the Old Testament is the type and the shadow for you and I to understand the New. It is the very basis where we can learn routines and habits of mankind. Because the Bible says that there's no temptation taken to man, but it's common to all. Amen? So, let's think about this now. He said, awake thou that sleepest. See, there's a great anointing on your life. And the Bible tells us the anointing destroys the yoke. But with that anointing, the devil, he wants to steal it from you. He wants to steal it from me. Because you see, that anointing, it stops everything that He wants to do. So what He wants to do, if He can put you to sleep, if He can put me to sleep by getting our eyes off of Jesus, then He will succeed in His plan. Now, you know the story very well. Let's talk about Samson just for a minute. What does the Bible tell us about Samson? Let's go to the book of Judges and let's just lay our eyes on it. Because we need to remind ourselves the power that happens when we get our eyes off of Jesus. Look at Judges. Keep your place marked there in Ephesians. But in Judges chapter 16, look at verse 19 for sake of time. Judges 16:19. And she being Delilah, made him sleep upon her knees. Delilah made Samson sleep upon her knees. Now this is what the devil will do. Every one of us in here, we have a Delilah. We don't need to be prideful and say we don't. We need to go to God and we need to say, God, open up my heart. Open up my eyes and my understanding. Show me my Delilah. Show me my weakness. Show me my area that I'm not worried about, that I don't ever pray about, that I've got the confidence that I can walk in it. You see, this is what happened to Samson. He'd walked in it so many times before and he'd got the victory. Come on, he kept going down and doing the same thing over and over, and by God's grace, he was able to come out of it. But see, you and I, there is a time and a season God will give us grace and He'll help us along. But there's a time and season if I keep doing the same thing over and over, all of a sudden, that word. See, Samson was in a place where he was in sin and he was asleep with a harlot at midnight and they were going to kill him. They were laying wait for him and God woke him up. Woke him up and told him to get out of there. And he went out of there and you know the story. He tore the gates of the city down, carried them all of these miles by the anointing. But there's a time and a season when you and I got to recognize and realize that God's grace, we can wear it out. And so what we want to do is we want to be in a place and a position where we see our Delilah by the Spirit of God. It's nobody else's business but you and God's. But you talk to God. Look what it says. And she, Delilah, made him, Samson, sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. See, this is what sin does. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that there's pleasure in sin for a season. But after sin gets a hold of you, after it gets a hold of me, it mocks us. Come on now. I've been in sin before where it was so fun, it was controlling me. It was laughing at me because it would make me do what I didn't want to do. I didn't change my mind about it. I didn't want to do it anymore, but it had me. It had me by the throat and it would pull me along. Amen? And that's what happens when we get rocked to sleep. It gets a stronghold in our life and the anointing right here, his vow, slowly but surely he had broke every vow. And when he broke the last vow, the Spirit of God, when he went rose up the next verse to do like he'd done times past, he didn't know that the Spirit of God had left him. Why? He was asleep spiritually. So you and I, what we want to do, we want to be in a place and a position where we understand that yes, I can go to sleep, but on the other side of that, I can be awakened. I can be awakened to all the truth of God and I can have that power of God come in my life and all of a sudden change everything about me. Let's go back to our verse in Ephesians 5:14. Now one more time. He said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Sleepest. Now, why does the devil want to put you and I to sleep? Well, we know what ultimately happened to Samson, but why does he want to put you to sleep? Go with me here to Matthew 13. And let's read a couple of verses of Scripture. Hold your place there. Matthew 13, look here at verse 24. Out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus said, in another parable, he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a good man which sowed good seed into his field. But look at what happened. Verse 25. So we're talking about the Christian, you could say. Verse 25. But while men slept, awake thou that sleepest. Samson went to sleep on her knees. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now see, here's what happens. You're praying to God, you're having great communion with God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reveals something in your life. Okay? And he's pulling you to do something. Okay? Your choice, my choice is we've got free will. Do I listen to God or do I yield to my flesh? Well, if I yield to my flesh, then my spirit gets put to sleep. My flesh is awakened. And all of a sudden, then I'm in a place and a position because I've rejected God's voice, like even Adam did in the garden, like Samson did. The enemy will come and start whispering in my ear. You'll never make it. You'll never be successful. So-and-so don't like you. Your spouse is doing this or doing that. Your children, this is their future. Your job won't last. Come on. Let's get real serious. Right down the grassroots level of everyday life. He'll sow a seed that'll take away, like Brother Dennis was teaching, your joy to defeat your hope. Now this tear, this is in Palestine, in Israel today, and it's the word Zawan. And you can see the Zawan and the wheat growing together, and until they get tall enough that the head comes to the fruit on the wheat, you can't tell the difference. They look identical. I mean, they look side by side. You cannot tell the difference until the fruit appears. But when the fruit appears, there's a black head on the Zawan. And it's poison. If it gets ground up with wheat and you eat it, you will get sick. If you eat enough of it, you will die. Understand why Jesus is teaching this to us. We've got to be very keen to the fact that any time we don't yield to the Spirit of God, any time we don't say yes to God, there's an opportunity then for the devil to come and to talk to you, to talk to me. So I've got to awaken. I've got to awaken to all the things of God. I've got to let God talk to me. And let God be God, which means let Him be number one. Amen? And if I'll do that, I'm going to rise up out of my inactivity. I'm going to rise up from all the things death, the devil's talking to me. And I'm going to hear things of God. And I'm going to be encouraged. And I'm going to be motivated and anointed to move forward and do everything that God called me to do. Amen? All right. He said, wherefore, Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. So we awake, but then we got to arise. And this, the Bible says in Matthew 3:8, that you and I are to bring forth fruit that is meet for repentance. Amen? So when we, in other words, we hear the word, we stand up, but then we can expect that word that causes us to wake up and to stand up, we can expect it to bring forth fruit. So we look at that verse, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Oh, I've got to do something else. No, you don't. All you've got to do is receive the word. The word does the work. Your heart is the seedbed. God's not asking you to do anything that you can't do. He's saying, I'm going to supply the word. I'm going to supply the water. I'm going to supply the fertilizer. I'm going to supply everything you need. You just hold on to the word. Let the word do the work. And out of your life is going to be the fruit. The fruit of my promises. The fruit of all. Think about it. Love, joy, peace.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, that's yours. Bought, paid for.
Yes.
All we got to do is awake to it, arise in it, and let the fruit produce what God said it would produce. You know, we were in Matthew 13. Let's go back there. And let's look at the next verse. Look what he said before we quit reading. Now the previous verse, verse 23, Matthew 13, 23. But he that receives seed, say that's me. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. That's the word. Everybody's going to produce. Come on, that's you and I today. I don't know about you, but I spent all my life before I become a Christian and then many years afterwards wondering if I could ever be successful. Because I let the world label this as what success was. And if I can't get here, then I'm not successful. But if I hear the word, Jesus said I would bear fruit. And this fruit is, according to John 15, is eternal. Not temporal. Now let's see what happens. How we arise, how we awake, and then how we arise. Go with me to Acts chapter 14. Let's see an example. Talking about hearing the word and understanding it. Remember that as we look at this. Acts chapter 14. Look where Jesus had used Paul in his ministry. Brother Dennis talked about it this morning. But look at this. Acts 14 and 8. Well, first, let me read verse 7, because look what it says. It says, there he preached the gospel. So we know what's going forth is the word. Preach the gospel. Verse 8. And there was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speaking, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. That word stand, that's the same Greek word that's translated arise in Ephesians 5:14. Hear the word. Hear the word. And the thing that has kept you down all your life, all of a sudden you can stand up in it and it will no longer hold you down. It will no longer hinder you. It will no longer limit you because you heard the word. You received it. You believed it. It caused you to be awakened. It caused you to arise up out of your circumstance. You're not a defeated foe.
That's right.
You're a victor.
Right.
You're a victor in Jesus Christ. The devil has tried to convince us that we just hang on and survive until we get to heaven. Now come on, every one of us, we thought that about different situations in our life. God don't want us to survive. He wants us to awaken and arise. And then there's going to be some glory. There's going to be a glow. Amen? He said, that's what it's all about. Go back to Ephesians 5:14 and look at that. He said, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In other words, he gives you light, yes, so you can walk in that light. But he gives you light because Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, John 8 and 12, I'm the light of the world. But now he's not in the world except through you. Through you. Now Matthew 5, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus calls you. In verse 14, he says, you, my people, are the light of the world. Ye are, present tense. See, there's some things that he's making us into. And it's a process. But remember, as we started our text in Ephesians chapter 5, you were darkness, but now you are light. The light.
Yes.
Come on, of God.
Yes.
Okay, and he said that light would be like a city that was set on a hill. Everybody could see it. And then he tells us in the next verse, the reason why that's there is that everybody can see your good works. And God in heaven, Matthew 5:16, and God in heaven can be glorified.
Yes.
See, that's what happened when this man from Lystra, when he rose up by the word of God, everybody went berserk. They knew him. He hadn't walked since he was born. You see, the devil doesn't want us to confess our faults. See, me and Donna had a conversation the other night, and I told her something I never told her before. There's great healing.
Amen.
when you do what the Bible says. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. Don't tell everybody down the street, but you tell somebody. Oh, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's victory. All of a sudden there's a weight taken off of you, because then God says, you're willing to admit something, and now I'm going to bring what you need in your life in its replacement. Now, 1 John 1:7 tells us that if we walk in the light, that God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm paraphrasing. Now, we need to separate that from 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, if I sin and I make confession of that sin, God will forgive me. Okay? But that is a different situation than verse 7. Verse 7, he's talking about progressive sanctification. That's why he wants me to awake and arise and let the light come into me. Because as I walk in my salvation, I'm progressively putting in more of the Lord. And my light bulb is being increased from a 10 watt to a 40 watt to a 60 watt to a 100. Come on. All for God's glory. The bigger the light, the further it can shine in darkness, and the more attention it's going to get. And the tension is not on us, but it's on Jesus. Amen? Amen? So it's okay. It's okay to have problems and situations when we give them to Jesus and we let Him make them right. And then we tell other people what God done through His Son. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what we're looking to, and that's what we're working towards. Amen? I'll close with this verse. John chapter 12. Look at verse 36. John 12:36. Jesus, He makes this command. He says, while you have light. In other words, right now, while the Spirit of God is moving in this service. Amen?
Amen.
While you have light, believe in the light. In other words, you believe what you're hearing. That you may be the children of light. In other words, that you may be increasing, is what it's saying. Increasing in what you know and what you understand and who you're serving, amen? And in the ability to see you. He said, these things spake Jesus, and He departed and did hide Himself from them. So many times we don't want to respond right then. We say, well, I'll deal with it when I get home. Have you ever done that? I have. And Jesus was nowhere to be found because He wanted to deal with it then. There was an anointing then. You see, there's an anointing always in your life, but there's a corporate anointing when we all come together. It can never touch that anointing that's just you by yourself. Come on now, I'm telling you the truth. I want you to mark down in your home study time and look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, I believe it is. There's a promise there. It says, the path of the just. Come on, how many just we got? Every one of you. The Bible says that Jesus was made sin, that you can be made righteous, which means justified, just as if you've never sinned. But I believe that verse tells us that the path of the just, it grows brighter and brighter every day. In other words, when the sun first starts coming up in the morning, you know, we've got a little light. But when we get the noonday sun, it's shining everywhere. And that's what He's talking about us. Every day in our path, as we do these things, as we awake and arise and take in the light, our path gets lighter and lighter and lighter. That means there's no darkness. The darkness is the devil. Now he tries to come around, but immediately he flees from light. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory. All right. I'll close with this thought. This is a true story. November 25th, 1998. There was a 77-year-old man named James Currens, C-U-R-R-E-N-S. And he lived his whole life up north, but he moved down to Florida to retire. And he moved right, you know, just right out in a remote area there close to the Everglades. And so one night he went to sleep, and just like any other night, but all of a sudden, he was awakened. He was startled. And when he was awakened and startled, I mean, he was lost. Because evidently, when he went to sleep, he went for a walk. And he woke up and he's waist deep in the swamp. And he's there, and all of a sudden, what woke him up was all of these alligators coming in and they're hitting him. Now think about this. You know, this is a real life situation to help us to understand the spiritual. If we go to sleep, we may not see the alligators. We may not see the enemy. But he's there waiting to bite on you. Remember? He was looking who he may devour. Alright, well, the man is screaming and hollering. His next door neighbor hears him, comes out there and helps him, gets him out of there. He's not injured by the alligators. He's injured as that man is trying to pull him back out on the bank. But just scuffed up, bruised a little bit. But that's the importance of recognizing and realizing we can't go to sleep. We can't. And if we don't listen to the Word of God when He's talking to us, we can fool ourselves if we want to, but in reality, we're asleep. Now the anointing of God, I just felt just a strong anointing go out right then. And He's wanting to help us so much. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace. I thank You for Your anointing to do what no man can do. That's enable us to hear, enable us to respond, enable us to be able to receive seed that will bring faith, that will cause us to be able to act upon what You said to us. Father, I ask that You touch every person here. Not let there be any room for discouragement or despair, but let hope rise, and let, even if there's been long-seated trials, storms, situations that people have dealt with where the enemy has worked on them, let them awaken to the promise of the Word of God. Let them arise and stand up on that situation and bring You glory. Let the day be the day that victory is manifested. And let all the light shine on Jesus. Lord, we'll have nothing if You don't do it, Jesus. You confirm the Word in our lives with signs following. We ask You, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Would You come this morning? Would You come and make a response to the Word of God? Every one of us, we've got situations in our life, the lies that want to put us to sleep. We've got situations, the things that wants to discourage us, things that we've heard phrases and words that were words of death, not words of life. And we need the very light of the Lord to shine on all of those things and burn those lies and those discouraging remarks, those bad seeds, those tares, that Zawan, out of our life. Would You come and let the Lord minister to you? There's nothing that you can't do in Jesus' name according to His call. Yeah. Brought you through it. So we got things to tell people. We got words of encouragement. And I just want you just to be excited that God loves us that much that He even as Christians, He's telling us that we can have more and we can be more than what we were. Amen?
Amen.
Any other needs before we change the order of the service? Anybody?
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I love coming, like I said last Sunday, and I'll say it every Sunday, I love coming to church and being challenged by the sermon. There's a lot of things this week that God laid on my heart, that some areas in my life that I have fallen asleep in. And, you know, praise God. I love second witnesses. And, you know, I love it whenever the sermon lines up exactly with what God was dealing with me on during the last week. And praise God, we can't awaken in Him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Announcements, don't forget to come back tonight at 6 o'clock for the evening service. Come prepared to be blessed and have a good time of fellowship. It always is. Praise God. I love, it's like the old song says, I love the thrills that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Are there any other announcements? Anything else coming up in the community that you need to know about? Okay. If not, Brother Bill, would you mind to dismiss us in prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for each and every one, Lord. We pray that you go with us, keep us, guide us, protect us, Lord. Bring us back to